Good morning. Thank you for your praising this morning. I know heaven stopped and listened. Good spirit of praise and worship. It was a deep feel. We thank all of you and we bless you today in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Are you ready to do this thing? How many of you got a Bible? Show me a Bible. Or if it's on your phone, wave your phone at me right now. Everybody on your feet. On your feet. On your feet. On your feet. You ready to do it? You ready to do it? Put it up for me, Lynn, if you would. Put it up high. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. You can do better than that. Ready? This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We thank you for it. You be seated in Jesus' name. Let's do this. Here we are. Part three. I believe what we just said. I believe that. You know, part of my nature is I'm not a pessimist by nature. I'm really not. And so, I mean, I believe it already. I don't have a problem believing it, but I can believe it through experience at this point in my life now, from what we have all walked through individually as an individual family and as a body together. I really believe that what we were saying right there. I do realize it's part of my nature, but some of you are here today and you just automatically fall in that area. We've got some people that love God, serve God, are going to go to heaven, and really, really good. But if Lynn and I have a joke that if we went to so-and-so and said, this afternoon, Jesus and all 12 are going to come to your door and knock on the door. Oh, no, we can't do that. I'm not ready for that. I mean, but I'm not that way. But some people are. I saw a refrigerator magnet the other day. It says, no sense being pessimistic. It probably wouldn't work anyway. And there's a lot of folk like that. You can preach, they can amen you in the church, they'll nod, they'll grin at you, but on the inside there's a corner of them that's not quite swept yet, and they don't quite believe it. I'm not a pessimist, but I know a little bit more. It has not completely all to do with my mindset, but I know what you're getting ready to hear. I know that this is the word of the Lord. So that colors how I feel about things of today and tomorrow and the next day. Certainly there are problems. My head is not in the sand. I can enumerate it very, very well. You know, part of the problem is we find out the way our moods are a lot of times by what we listen to the most, what we hear the most right now, what we hear. I read a thing the other day on one of the social media things, said I went into my mother's house. My mother's a little older right now, and I took the parental controls on the remote, and I took the parental controls, and I blocked CNN in her house. Well, she called me back a little while. I can't find the news. He said, well, that's exactly why right now. And it depends on what we're hearing about how we respond. We've got a problem right now. We've got a lot of people telling us that, you know, when they say it's for your benefit, run the other way right now. Because when you read this background stories and some of the people that are even giving health advice today, their background is thinning the herd. And Dr. Simon Godet said it this way, be cautious of taking health advice from people who believe that the earth is overpopulated. And that's where we are right now. That is where we are right now. And if you don't believe that, you're living in la-la land. You're living in and you have reason to just float off on a cloud somewhere right now. It wasn't long ago that in a conference, the monkey lady said, you know, we can reduce the world population. We need to go back to where it was 500 years ago if we want everything fine. Well, no, that's crazy. Here's what I know, though. Here I am naturally optimistic in my nature, but I'm faith-filled of optimism because faith undergirds how I act and think. I know this. Here's what I know. In every message, in every sermon, in every song, in every encouragement, in every scripture, in all of this, God is speaking to us. What is he saying today? Don't miss your moment. But I tell you again strongly, be aware of the wrong voices. And right now, the wrong voices are the loudest, they are the meanest, and they're the most unashamedly demonic in the world today. I put that sentence together. I worked on that one. Right now, the wrong voices are the loudest. They're the meanest. And they're the most unashamedly demonic right now. I've got a news report on my phone that came on this morning that the administration right now is getting ready to reenact the funding for transgender surgery for the military. Okay? I don't want a guy, when we ever get attacked, running down there and pulling up his pantyhose at the same time. I need somebody that can do the job right now. Do you realize that we're living in a time right now? I'm going to tell you more about this next week. But right now, a man was arrested for silently praying because in England, near an abortion clinic, he was arrested because he was praying a silent prayer, and it was a thought zone that he could not do that there. In fact, just a few days ago, there was a Christian. She's a teacher, a school teacher in California. Her name is Jessica Tapia. She lost her job. You know why she lost her job teaching students? She refused to hide gender transitions from the parents and keeping them in the dark by lying to them. I'll read that again. She got fired because she refused to hide student gender transitions from the parents, and she refused to keep them in the dark by lying to them, and she was told to do that. That's wrong. But I tell you what, the loudest voices right now are the wrong voices. They're the meanest voice. They're the unashamedly demonic, and they are depraved. Depraved. One of our chief medical officers said it this way, and I find the wording peculiar. Medicine and science are being politically perverted. You got that part right. Perverted around the country. This destroys human lives. Okay, now Robert is such a lunatic that he could not even accept what God made him. So he has no business telling me what I need to accept right there. That's demonic. That goes all the way against the message of the church, the bride of Christ, the intention of God. And this is a mental disorder, but it is perverted in Jesus' name. So it's critical. As a body, we can't miss our moment right now. Now, you know that the first week when I talked about the moment, I talked about it as an experience. You missed your moment, that is an experience. But then we went a little bit further and we said, missing your moment also means an opportunity. Remember that? Remember when Paul stood and he, that was his opportunity to say something. So not only is it an experience, man, that was wonderful, but it is an opportunity. Look what God did. I will speak here. And it is an opportunity. I think this is a moment to respond, to speak. And I said this, I think, last week or the week before. Just be. Ever seen people that just can't be? Can't be. You see people like that, they can't be. You can be. That is your witness. That is so strong. Paul said it this way. They can look at you and know that you are a writing of God. You are the handiwork of God by your living. You're a living epistle known and read of men. And last week when we closed, and here's what I said. I said, if we're in our house anything like yours over the last 2 years, there has been a little bit more TV because you hadn't been able to go some places, and it's getting better now, thank God. But we did get hooked on a few police shows to the point that maybe my verbiage was such. I told Linda, I let her out the mall the other day. I said, watch your six, you know, when you're out there. And when they're looking for somebody, they put out a bolo. That you know what the bolo is? Be on the lookout. So when we made our final affirmation, I told you, I said, be on the lookout for a bolo moment. A bolo moment where you have an opportunity to respond, to speak, to do, or to just be. Has anybody had a bolo moment this week? Anybody look back and had a bolo? Did you have? Come here, babe. You got a bolo? Oh, you got your own mic.
I got my own mic.
Oh, that's what she loves.
Dangerous. No, I'll be quick. Yes, when he said that last week, I'll be honest. I mean, I was like, yeah, okay, sure. This week, I'm a realtor with Paul Gilmore and Associate Realtors, and I was on the phone with a client, and I thought we were going to talk about the criteria they wanted for this specific situation with her home, and one thing led to another, and 3.5 hours later, y'all, and I tried several times to get off the phone. 3.5 hours. And I'm going to tell you, each time, because I was very hesitant to, you know, go too deep. You think that sometimes, I don't know how deep to go, you know, with, especially if it's a client situation. And, but it's like the Lord just, it was an absolute bolo moment. And I started laughing. I said, well, look at that. The Lord gave me a moment. And all you have to do is this. All you need is to be prepared by, you don't need all that sleep, y'all. You can, it's okay. It's all in the head. And you got to get up and you got to read that word, even if it's for 5 minutes, to allow that to be something you can think about, pray about, and ask God, what does it really mean to me, God? Open the eyes of my heart to understand what it is. That's all I did, and one thing led to another. She recommitted her walk. I told her, you know, what to do. She's planted in a church, but, you know, it's one thing having head knowledge, what you were just saying. All of us have that problem, and God knows it, but we got to be on the lookout for it ourselves. How much do we really believe? If our heart really believes it, our actions prove it.
Man, that's great. So she came out of the room. She said, I think I just had my bolo moment. She did. I know she's a godly woman. If I thought I had to talk to somebody for 3 hours on the phone, and I have, I'd rather give blood. I mean, after a few minutes, I'm going, yeah, God bless you. All right, thank you. Work out your salvation in fear and trembling. I've done 20 minutes here right now. I'm worked up right now. How many of you guys understand that right now? But that is exactly what it's about, and it has everything to do with just having your radar on. Being conscious, and how many people just walk around, they're not even conscious of what's going on in the world. Some people make things happen, other people say, what's happening? You know, and you've got to make a decision who you're going to be in that right now. So that's a strong word right now. I want to talk to you about another don't miss your moment chapter in Scripture. I'm starting with New King James. I'm moving around. And I'm in Matthew chapter 25. It's a familiar story, but it is a sure don't miss your moment story from Jesus. He said, then the kingdom of heaven. By the way, everything Jesus said had everything to do with the concept of the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of heaven is higher than what you're living, this misery where you are right now. The kingdom of heaven. He said, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Well, how do you know? Well, those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they slumbered and they slept. Stop right here. When Jesus is, they were sleeping. When Jesus told stories, he would tell natural stories, and what it was, it was a heavenly meaning to it. It was a deeper revelation. He would tell stories. He would say, the kingdom of heaven is like, and you'll see another one of these today, maybe next week also, is like, and you got the simile, the metaphor type things, but no, Jesus said, this is what the kingdom, now here's the story right now. While the bridegroom was delayed, they slumbered and slept. By the way, this is where we are right now. People are slumbering and they're sleeping in this world today. And at midnight, a cry was heard. I used to sing, at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. And what a strong song there. A cry was heard. The sound was, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Stop right here. Number one, they were not prepared. They wanted something they had not worked for. How 2023. But the wise answered, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him. Is that a story for you guys? If you don't get anything else, those who were ready went with him. Those who were ready went with him. There you go. It's pretty strong, isn't it? They went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. You remember the story we did when we talked about Noah? The preaching had gone on for a while. The message will go on for a while, but finally the time runs out. And so they went in there and they made the statement, and you know, I love what the word says. It doesn't say Noah shut the door. It said God shut the door. And when God shuts the door, you ain't opening it again. You will not open it again. God shut the door. And afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he answered and said, assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. So as he finishes telling that, he turns to them and he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Got to have your lamps ready. I used to sing the old gospel song for years, but they'd be throwing babies out the balcony. We'd be somewhere and we'd say, keep your lamps all trimmed and burning for the bridegroom watch and wait. He'll be with us at that meeting just inside the eastern gate. Oh, man, it would just tear the house down. Man in his fleshly wisdom, here's part of the story, only thanks for his moment, in the moment. They had their lamp. They brought no provisions. They weren't ready. They weren't ready for their moment. They think of only themselves. And man in this condition will consistently make the wrong move. Do you see that in the world today? Do you see that in the lives of people who've not prepared their heart toward God and getting the word ready, the provision of the word that won't go out when it gets dark? But the one who's not made that provision, they will always make the wrong move. And like the foolish ones, man will grow weary after a while and man will doze off. You got these little disciples that get into the private meeting at the Mount of Transfiguration, and all power's coming down, and they're coming and going, and Jesus is there, and Moses and all the rest of them are all there, and these boys are sleeping over there in the corner right now. He said, come here, and he probably slapped them like the cartoon dog, you know, like that to wake them up. Man, and then when it pinches, here's where we are today also. I'm giving you the heavenly story with the 2023 meaning too right now. Man seems to want to make up his own rules for God. Man wants to make up his own rules for God. Now, by the way, no matter how noble it sounds, their training is opposite in the flesh. Opposite in the flesh. I read the story about a very famous entertainer, and he's done, I won't name his name, and he told the story. He's very well off now, and he told the story. He said he remembered when he was a kid at a certain place, he went and he would steal things from it, and he got wealthy and everything, and he went back and wanted to give back to that place, and he made the statement, which I think is noble, okay, but he made the statement. He said, I've redeemed myself. And doesn't man always think he can redeem himself? It says, he redeems my life from destruction. He is the one. I am your redeemer, he said. Now, we can see what happens. We will do those things after the change comes in our heart, like Zacchaeus scaling down the tree. He wasn't told to do anything, but in his heart changed. And when the heart changed, the motives changed. The actions changed there. That's why Linda was saying, it's got to get down deep inside of all of us right now. He said he redeemed him. So, no, he needs the word of God. Now, regarding the preparation, we need, it is our job, my job here, your job in your house, with your kids, with your grandchildren. Some of you have, and you're seeing these gaps, you know, I see some people that I might be a similar age with some of you, and they're saying, the children I raised, I don't know why they are saying these things now. I don't know why these grandchildren are saying these things now. Well, the Egyptians educate them most of the week, and they come back with all kind of craziness there, and it's incumbent upon you to speak. There must be a preparation. Remember I told you about my view? It's not about optimism. It is grounded in the word right now. And if it's not grounded in the word, you will have the carnal worldview, as I said a few weeks ago. Let's call it continuing education. Preacher Josh Dawes writes some good things. He said, the worldview is not just a subject you can teach your children at home in between homework and the Little League. We teach with every interaction, every YouTube video watched, every video game, every academic subject taught is shaping their worldview. So instilling a biblical worldview must be your top priority. The biblical worldview must be the top word. We're still in Matthew 25. Now watch. He's telling stories. He's preparing them so their view will be a kingdom view. Are you understanding what I'm doing here with this right now? So we pick up in verse 14. And again, here's another clue. He said, for the kingdom of heaven. There it is again. What's this tell you? We're talking about something bigger than this. We're talking about something bigger than this right now. The kingdom of heaven. That's your first clue. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and he delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2. To another 1. Now notice this statement here. To each according to his own ability. Stop right there. Talents had been given out according to their past faithfulness, their past track record. It wasn't an indiscriminate thing there, right there. He said, and notice what happens there. He's telling a story here. Immediately, he said he went on a journey. Oh, by the way, you remember the other story Jesus told in the first part? The master did something or told him to do something, and the master was gone for a while. The master might be gone for a little while, but he's coming back. Look busy. He's coming back. So watch what happens. He's telling a story for later because we need ears to hear. By the way, where it says he immediately went on the journey, the similar take in Luke 19:13, you don't have to turn to it right now because I'm just going to paraphrase it. The NIV says he called the 10 servants. He gave them 10 minas. That's about 3 months of wages. And one thing he said, put this money to work until I come back. The New King James says, do business till I come. King James Version said, occupy till I come. In other words, it was the intention of the master when he gave that they do something with it. That's always God's intention. What he has put in your hand, he's expecting you to do something with it, not just sit there and wait for the bus to pick you up when the horn blows. He expects you to do something. How do you know that? Go all the way back to the first book there. Go all the way back. He gave them a garden. And what did he tell them to do with it? Sit and enjoy it. He said, no, I want you to tend this thing. I want you to pay attention to it. I need you to pull the weeds. No, you see the picture? Pull the weeds. I want you to take care of those things right now. Tend it. Well, we pick up right now in verse 16. And he said, then he who had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with them. He came back with 5 more talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went, dug it in the ground. He hid the Lord's money. Verse 19, and after a long time, a waiting period, if you will, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. Are you seeing a natural story with an encouragement for you in the future and building our lives? This is going to happen to us too. Well, anyway, the story goes on. I won't read it. The story goes on. The guy who had received 5 brought back 5. He said, Lord, you gave me this and you did this real good. And the Lord said, you did great. You're a faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, he said. So therefore, I'm going to make you a ruler over many things. We see that in the world today. You see that with if you raise the kid. You don't give the key to the Mercedes until they've learned how to drive the Ford Maverick. If they can handle that, you don't move right into it. You've got to show yourself faithful at every level right now. That's where the world is right now. It's a period of faithfulness. He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. The guy with the 2, he said that. Now watch this. In verse 23, here's where we pick up. Verse 23, his Lord again says to him, well done. This is the man who had 2. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, and I will make you. I will promote you. I will validate you. I will increase what you have done because you have been faithful. He said to the first guy, you're a faithful servant. He said to this guy, you're a faithful servant. And then I love this statement, enter into the joy of the Lord. A lot of people want the joy of the Lord without doing something with God and spending the time with him and growing in the word. And finally, look at verse 24. Now, things are going to change just a little bit, and it's going to offend people in the sensibilities of 2023 because you're going to hear, that's not fair. All right, here we go. And this is really, really good. Verse 24. Then he who had received 1 talent said, Lord, I just knew you were a hard man. Can you hear the stained glass in his voice? He said, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not seen. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. Sounds noble, doesn't it? It sounds noble. I didn't want you to lose this, Lord. He was making up his own idea of God. He was making up his own rules as he went. He was comforting himself with his version of it right now. It sounds noble. And you're expecting Jesus, oh, sweet man, come here. Let me hug you. Come here. His Lord answered and said, you wicked, lazy servant. Don't you know his face dropped? Don't you know the other guys just kind of went? They didn't want to get caught in that. You knew that I reap where I've not sown, gather where I've not scattered seed. So you ought to deposit the money. Well, you could have just put it in the bank, just not in California. By the way, that's all a show. That's all a rigged show. I'll just tell you that right now. There's a lot of foolishness going on out there. Jesus, bind the foolishness, protect the innocent people, but blow up the rest of them. Jesus' name. David prayed those prayers. He said, make their kids fatherless. That's pretty tough, man. Somebody on TV, Hanoi Jane, got on a television show this week, and she said, sat there and looked, and they giggled and they laughed with the tee-hees, ha-ha-ha, when she said, the people that voted to save against the abortion in the, they need to be murdered. She said they need to be murdered. That's hate speech. That's hate speech. They need to be murdered. The murdered. How wrong is that? So here you are now, you lazy servant. So here's what I'm going to do. Verse 28. I'm going to take your talent. Take the talent from him, and I'm going to bring it to this guy who has the 10. Oops. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. Now, this does not compute in the carnal mind. Well, this is why I'm trying to do what I'm doing today. This does not compute in the carnal mind. And it is speaking of blessing. For to everyone who has, more will be given, he'll have an abundance. I like that. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. This deals with the character. This deals with the submission. This deals with the love of God. The servanthood concept right here. And I will cast the unprofitable servant. Stop right there. That is a strong word. You know what that means? That means he ain't bringing anything in. He's not bringing anything to the table. He's not bringing anything to the table right now. I read it to Linda. We started laughing last night. Somebody wrote, if you ain't paying my bills, if you ain't buying my groceries, if you ain't sleeping in my house, I don't care what you have to say. You leave me alone. Cast the unprofitable servant in outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's really not fair, you know. That is mean. That is so terrible. How can you be in a Christian and you call yourself a Christian? No, all Jesus was doing was explaining the concept. The boy missed his moment. He misplayed the ball. He didn't fully understand the heart of his master. By the way, I will tell you this. Jesus was also teaching the God value of work. How 2023 is that? The word says that work is a noble thing. It may not be big, but your work is a noble thing. When you get up in the morning, your work is a noble thing. You may not be in an office. You may work on a job, another kind of job. You may work with children. You may work in an office place. It is noble as unto God when you do that. Some of you are at home. Some of you are at home, and that what you are doing is as unto God. It is a noble thing. The Bible says clearly, you don't work, you don't eat. But let me just stop you before anybody wants to play 2023 with me right now. We should always help the helpless, but we should not perpetuate the pandering. And there comes a time that we need the revelation of God. And God himself laid us out in this story that Jesus tells us. God lays it out throughout of the Old Testament. You don't work, you don't eat. By the way, I do want to say this. Part of the problems we are where we are right now in our world was the awful, insidious thing that happened over those 2 years where you were told, do not work and you will get paid. What that has done to the psyche of America and the younger generation coming up, it is godless. It is godless. It's a godless concept. You don't have to do anything. You know, the man is not going to be there for you, because when the man comes, there's going to be some settling of accounts, it says here right now. We should help the helpless, but not the perpetual pandering. Do you know Jesus himself said, the poor you're going to have with you always? Do you know Paul even said later, you need to do good to people, but do good first and especially to the people in the house of God, the people of like faith. Then you take the extra offering and you do things that help other people there. That's how this thing goes. That is full of the word right there. And what was done in our world right now, you go to a place. I went to a regular restaurant. Tyler and I went last week. It is a regular restaurant. And we walked in the restaurant and the restaurant was half full there and the tables were roped off. Half of the room was roped off and they said, it's going to be 30 minutes. Well, why is that? We don't have enough help. We don't have enough workers. We waited one day. We called in an order on the bridge one Sunday and we called in an order. We drove up to a place right now. Okay, we'll be there in 30 minutes when we do that. We pulled up and we got there. We sat there for a while, about 10 minutes. The person come, oh, I'm so sorry. We're running a little bit late and da 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 like this. And it went on and on and on. And finally it went to 30 minutes. And I'm starting to transform from church boy to, you know, and I'm trying to decide how far I'm going to go, you know, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on there. In fact, I turn green and my shirt blows off, you know. And so what happens is finally we go in and check. And was it 45 minutes finally? And it probably went over 40. And I go in there and I really want to give, you know, I'm ready. That's why I don't drive a church van. I don't want my name on the side of anything. I want to be able to go in like a stealth bomber, you know. But I walked in. Now what's going on? And I looked at the face of this lady that was in charge. And she said 30 minutes ago, everybody in the kitchen decided just to go home. A major restaurant, wasn't as good as Hobnobber, but it was a major restaurant. And Tyler and I went to one the other day, and it was roped off. What's the problem? We don't have enough people to work. Go through your drive-thrus, and you know how I feel about drive-thru. After the invention of the wheel, the drive-thru, that's the best thing God ever happened in her. And you go there. I had that experience this morning. They didn't come to work. They're getting a check from somewhere. That's wrong. We should always assist those. I've got people looking at me right now that live on that, and I honor that. And I will work for that. And you worked for that. And we, those who can't help themselves, those who are older, those who need it, we always stand with them. But I see a lot. What was done to change the mindset of our world, it is godless and it's demonic. Always help those that are in need. Always do it. I honor them. I stand with them. I bless them in Jesus' name. So don't go away thinking I said something I did not say. The benevolence I do, you wouldn't believe it, that we do to help people. So finally, he comes back. I read something the other day. I'm so old to remember when people treated being unemployed as a secret embarrassment, not a life goal. So those that are in need, we will take care of them forever. You deserve it. You've lived a hard life. Some of you, and there's other people that I know that are going through. You deserve it. God bless you. Take it. But Jesus is clearly saying those who won't do anything and can. And by the way, while we're on the subject, look at verse 31. It's a transition statement. Jesus makes a transition statement while we're on the subject. He said, and when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about judgment coming because the story here. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of his holy angels, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them. By the way, there will be a separation and there is always a separation. How many of your natural life have friends and you've walked a life, you've lived and God did, and you decided to go on with God, but there was a separation and you had nothing to do with it, but because of what you felt, there was a separation. A lot of us have had that in our lives over the last few years. We weren't mean about it, but there was a separation by what we stood on and that we believed. They'll be separated as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. By the way, the shepherd will always protect his sheep, so don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, who are the people on his right hand? Those who did not miss their moments. Some of you are here today. Some of you are doing well. Some of you are just barely hanging on today. But I want to speak faith to you. I want to speak faith to you. Stay faithful. Stay consistent. Don't grow weary and well-doing. Don't fall asleep. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do. Do what you know to do, and you won't miss your moment. Now watch this. The king will say to those in the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from day one, from the foundation. Now we move to, I think, one of the most beautiful don't miss your moment stories, because it is real on so many different levels. John 4, I'm in the NIV now if you want to switch over. Jesus had heard the story. The Pharisees were kind of a little upset at what was going on. He started moving around and he had to go to Samaria. And in John 4, verse 5, it said he came to a town in Samaria near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Jacob. Stop right here. Jesus stopped at a historic spot. Do you think Jesus knew where he stopped? Do you think Jesus knew where he was? Do you think he knew? He was already familiar with the place. He knew every rock there. He knew it all there. Right there. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, by the way, the man part of Jesus was tired from his journey. One statement said, weary from his journey. He sat down by the well. It was high noon about. So a Samaritan woman came to draw water. She was going to draw water, but little did she know this was going to be the greatest day of her life. So don't be discouraged in your day-to-day. You don't know. This could be the blessing. This could be the greatest day of your life. She comes there. And Jesus said to her, can you give me something to drink? He was human. He was tired and thirsty. See, his disciples had gone in to buy food, so it was just him. The Samaritan woman looks at him in an incredulous type thing. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For as you well know, Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now, she just gave it to him, both barrels right there. We've laughed before. There's a in New York City, there's a McDonald's at Times Square, and I've been there a couple times. Tyler and I, Lynn and I both have been there, and I'm from New Orleans. And we talk different to one another, don't we? We talk, and we don't even think about it. We talk different than one another right now. And I went to this McDonald's one day and for breakfast there, and I was by, I think Tyler was with me, and we walk in there, and it's right there at Times Square, and I see it, and I walked in there, and she said, can I? I said, hey, sweetie, how are you? She said, I'm not your sweetie. I want you to know that. Well, the girls at McDonald's at home is. All of them that work there, all my sweeties. They call me baby back. I said, oh, excuse me, I'd like an Egg McMuffin, please. And I sheepishly put my money down and went to the other corner until it came out. Same thing here, same action right here. We don't fool with you. And Jesus says to her, this is so big. This is like way so big. Have you ever seen those stories? What's that? The undercover boss and the guy goes into the place and a little person's back behind the line. And he's schlepping some food there and he's aggravated and he's slopping it down. And then you got the other little lady. She's there before it comes. She's scrubbing everything. I want this to look the best. Well, when the master comes in to do the thing, he says to the little fella, he said, "You go into an education class, sweetie. You got $10,000 right here. I'm going to put in your hand because you were faithful when nobody was watching you." I didn't plan to say that, but that's really good. I need to write that in here. Jesus said, and they said, you didn't even know who you were talking to, did you? If you knew, that is one of the, by the way, that is one of the cool, I may do a whole message on that, just that statement, and to go to, if you really knew the gift of God, if you knew who this was talking to you that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he'd have given you living water. So she's still not getting it, but she's in verse 11 kind of shows her protocol. She starts by saying, sir, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Oh, yeah, she didn't know how deep it was. She didn't know how deep the real well was. He said, where can you get this living water? Are you now notice that she knew the tradition. She was raised in the tradition. Are people in New Orleans, especially during, raised in the tradition, the obligation, so to speak, in all denominations? There's a tradition there. They know the drill there, but it has everything to do with real heart thing right there. He says, are you greater? Now, just she probably a hand on the hip moment just a bit. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well? He drank from it himself, also his sons and his livestock. She knew the tradition, but she didn't know the talker. She didn't know who was talking to her right then. Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water, I wrote in my margin, the water of the world, the natural water, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He wasn't talking about the water of the world. He was talking about the water of the Word. Remember when praising a few moments ago, I said, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Well, okay, so something's going on right there. She's still foggy, and she actually says to him, okay, well, give me some of this water so I won't get thirsty. Do this so I don't have to keep coming drawing water, she said in the conversation with him. Again, she didn't quite understand it all. She was saying, do this so I don't have to do it again, but there's something deeper. Jesus said, and she's still foggy in her thinking, and in the conversation, Jesus said, he told her, call your husband and come back. And she said, I have no husband. First off, let me just say this right there. Jesus knew that. Okay? What is he looking for? He's looking for a truthful heart. And Jesus said, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands. You're not doing well in this. You've had five husbands, and the man you have now, he's not your husband. So what you've said is quite true. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in your need and in your thirst, always remember to tell God the truth. Tell God the truth. And we pick up in our reading, verse 19. Sir, I can see that you're a prophet. Isn't that pretty? No fooling. I see you're a prophet. I think King James Version says, I perceive you are a prophet, if I'm not, which is, I think, a cool word. He said, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. A lot of people are still serving the God of their ancestors and not the God of their heart. Many are serving the ancestors and the tradition more than the living God. But you Jews claim, again, she's still not clear. You Jews claim that this place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Okay, there's some progress here, but it's still not clear because her religion was speaking a yeah, but moment. Okay, she was giving Jesus a yeah, but moment. Okay, so it's not quite even clear yet. And Jesus just loving, and here, and lovingly, I think there was a warmth in his voice. I think there was almost a smile in his face. I think his eyes sparkled. And he just looked at her, and it was a loving thing. Woman, a sweet thing. Woman, believe me. Believe me, and there's something in there. Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. He said, see, you Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is come from the Jews. Now, what you're getting right here, you're getting You're getting a new covenant clue right now, okay? And she doesn't understand it yet, and we don't understand it when we read it first. But what he's actually doing, he's giving a new covenant clue because things are about to change. Notice he's not denigrating her history, but he's saying there is something further, deeper, and wider than what you've been doing mechanically right now. Watch this. He said, for salvation has come from the Jews, meaning also to them. Yet a time is coming. King James says, but the hour comes. In other words, it's going to happen. It's on its way and has now come. Notice the now word. I wrote now in all caps in my notes. It has now. In other words, he's looking at her and his now. When he did now, he probably had his hand on both of her wrists or her hands and looking in her. It has now come. It has come. It is a loving thing. When the true worshipers, new covenant, the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father is seeking. Notice he's make a transition, and then he goes even deeper with the new covenant clue. He says, because God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and worship in the truth. In the woman, still drawing on her history. She goes back and forth with him. Yeah, I know. That's the Messiah. He's called the Christ. He's coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And Jesus just looked at her. Jesus, and he made this statement. You're going to see it line by itself. He said, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Is that a moment? All of her history comes together. All of her life as a little girl comes together. All what Mama and Papa told her, all those, it all coming together here. She's seeing something and she's still not quite there, but boy, he has her. He has her. He's talking about something and there's a thirst in her that's going from man to man. He said, and I'm the one. The story tells us that about that time the disciples showed up. And in verse, you know, it's not going to be up here, but in verse 27, it says something very unusual that I looked at. It said they found him talking to the woman. And here's what it said in the NIV in that verse. It says, but no one asked. No one asked about her. No one asked about her. Nobody asked, what do you want? Why are you talking to her? You know why? Because in their tradition, she was a non-entity. She was a non-entity. They didn't even bother asking. They just went past her. She was a non-entity, but not to Jesus. You may think you're a non-entity, not to Jesus. Not to Jesus. If it had not been for the Lord in your life, where would you be? And like Zacchaeus, action happened after her moment. What a story. Verse 28, then leaving her water jar, she was so excited, she left it there. She was so excited, she didn't even think about why she came to begin with. There was the old timer, she is bubbling in my soul. It's bubbling in my soul. That's what was going on inside of her. That water thing that was gurgling on the inside after this moment. She was excited. She went back to town and she said to everybody, you got to come. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. And sweetie's still a little human. Could this be the Messiah? Oh, I think so. As imperfect as she was, when the woman of the well had her opportunity moment, she acted on it. Now, let me give you something real strong. And today, and continuing from last week, the concept of the opportunity as we walk in our lives, the bolo moments, as Linda testified right now. Here's what I know about this story right now. When Jesus hung out with sinners, they changed. He didn't. I rest my case. I see loving people that'll sing the songs and pray the prayers, but when they're with other situations, they become that. It's chameleon Christianity. And Lord, help us to be strong. When Jesus hung out with the sinners, they changed. He didn't. Be the force of change, because every step of this walk, as I've said before, is a question of lordship. By the way, you're free to make the lordship choice every day with your moments. He gave you that free will. There's a lot of talk. You can go back and forth about things. I'm not going to go into some of the theological things of the will. That's another long story for another day. But C.S. Lewis said it great. He said, free will, though it makes evil possible, it also makes it is the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or any joy worth having. Choose that. In closing, I say to you these statements about not missing your moment. Remember, step number one was how not to miss your moment. Remember the first one? Don't serve sin. Number two, don't have a hard heart. Remember that from last week? And this week, step three, preparation. Preparation, whether it is oil, whether it is drawing the water of life. Don't serve sin. Don't have a hard heart. Step three, be prepared for a moment that God will give you. And it may be when nobody else is looking. That is most of the time, by the way. Oswald Chambers said the true test of a person's spiritual life and character is not that he does in extraordinary moments of his life, but what he does during the ordinary times when there is nothing tremendous or exciting happening. That's the B. So God is speaking to me today. God is speaking to you. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. And my prayer is what it's been for 3 weeks in a row. Is when I say, Lord, let me not miss your words, your opportunities, or your moments. Those are the people that were validated. Those were the people that Jesus changed. Those were the people that Jesus blessed. Those were the people that received from him. Stand to your feet, put your right hand in the air, and make this our prayer. Lord, put it up there. Lord, let me not miss your words, your opportunities, and your moments. Say it again. That means you need to be on the bolo, right? Be on the lookout. Lord, let me not miss your words, your opportunities, your moments. How does that happen? Remember, we don't serve sin. Remember, we don't serve sin. We don't have a hard heart toward God in the Word. And we are prepared for our moments. The first five were prepared. The man who was given the five talents, he was prepared. And they entered in because of their faithfulness to the joy of the Lord. And he said to all of them, you did good.